choices, new players, new models of care. You know consumer-first healthcare is everywhere. For us to build the future, to see what's new, we gotta look at the world from a different point of view. Consumer innovation ain't going away. I say it's here to stay. Today it leads the way. We gotta drop the silos. We're all the same team. Experience, business, tech, and marketing. So join us now. Join the revolution. Consumer first health is the evolution. Status quo or like status no. Yeah, this is the healthcare rap. Yo, come on, let's go.
Welcome back to the leading podcast about consumer health innovations. I'm Jared Johnson, and here's what's going to go down today. We have the flavor of the week about Best Buy's Q1 performance. What are the latest accomplishments with their slow and steady approach to innovation in healthcare? And what does it tell us about consumer products when we consider their enterprise quarterly earnings? I'll talk about that. Then we welcome Jeffrey Roche to discuss a topic that will stay top of mind for clinical teams and how it's going to shape the future of healthcare organizations' ability to thrive in an ever-increasingly consumer and patient-centered world. We're not talking about AI. We're talking about workforce challenges, and Jeffrey will help us see why we need to think differently about workforce development. He'll connect the dots between medical training, clinical leadership, and the great need to develop the incoming non-clinical workforce who has different needs and skill sets. It's a unique conversation that will get us all thinking, so it's time to dive right in. Are you ready? Let's go.
Flavor of the week.
Let's see what Best Buy Health's Q1 update tells us about the momentum of health at home, then let's put it in context of the parent company's latest quarterly results. The healthcare division of the consumer electronics retailer announced momentum in Q1 towards enabling care in the home for everyone. Three highlights stuck out. First, new care-at-home partnerships. Best Buy announced new partnerships with health systems, including Pennsylvania-based St. Luke's University Health Network. St. Luke's is using their remote patient monitoring platform, Current Health, to support post-discharge patients with congestive heart failure. Second, safety and independence for seniors. In March, they announced the launch of Lively Mobile 2, a medical alert device offering unparalleled safety and independence. The new device provides industry-leading fall detection sensitivity, ensuring safety and peace of mind for seniors and their loved ones. Third, bringing CAR T-cell therapy home. HCA Healthcare's Sarah Cannon Cancer Institute is leveraging Current Health to help cancer patients getting CAR T-cell therapy in their homes. Patients can now recover from treatment at home instead of staying in the hospital, reducing complications and hospitalizations post-treatment. And might I add, in many ways, it provides a better and less stressful consumer experience. So I guess you could say there were some respectable innovations continuing on their current path, but nothing earth-shattering, which is why this might not have made many headlines. Now, when we factor in Best Buy's enterprise Q1 earnings that were announced May 30th, it adds some color to the conversation. They announced that they missed Wall Street's quarterly sales expectations due to softer demand for discretionary spending on consumer electronics, but they beat on earnings per share and stuck by their full-year forecast. As a result, shares jumped roughly 10% in early trading. Notably, there wasn't any mention of their healthcare business in the earnings release. So what does or doesn't this say about Best Buy's unique position in healthcare? In the post-Walmart era, we can expect for the financial runway to be a greater topic of conversation as we evaluate the feasibility of more consumer and retail brands in the space. In Best Buy's case, it's easy to see how their foray into healthcare appears to be a hedge against that softening discretionary spending. In theory, there will always be demand for healthcare products and services, especially as America ages, which also means that if conditions persist, they could increasingly look to their healthcare business to make up for less consumer spending elsewhere, which could eventually squeeze their plan to grow this side of the business slow and steady. Either way, it looks like Best Buy will stay the course, keeping a unique position among retailers with no apparent plans to radically shift. To this point, they've mostly stayed in their lane and haven't yet jumped the shark. And for now, that might be one of the best ways to keep moving forward in a sector that's more unpredictable than ever. Let's keep an eye on Best Buy and others in the health at home space to see what comes next for this important growth sector. That's another way that we'll build the healthcare of tomorrow, and that's the flavor of the week. All right, everyone, let's get into the flow. Please join me in welcoming our guest this week, Jeffrey Roche. Jeffrey is the Director of Workforce Development for North America for Siemens Healthineers. Jeffrey, welcome to the Healthcare Wrap.
Hi, Jared. Good to see you.
I'm really excited to dive into a lot of conversation about the capital W, workforce, and maybe some different angles that help people have some context into what's possible. And I have a feeling they're going to leave this episode with a little more hope quite frankly, in addressing some ongoing challenges than maybe they had before the start of the episode. So perfect place to dive in is to help us understand a little bit about yourself. You want to give us the 2-minute version of who you are and what you do?
So obviously, wonderful to be here. Jeffrey M. Roach, serve at Siemens Healthineers as the Director of Workforce Development, inaugural role. This role was really created for Siemens Healthineers in the vital role that we do, where we enable and develop breakthroughs in medicine to really help bring together, through capacity building, academic, community colleges, government, philanthropy, along with all of our healthcare systems, including other ecosystem partners, to really build the next generation healthcare workforce. And so that's what my role is entirely focused on. Obviously, by background, I started as a hospital administrator, served in a community healthcare system in various leadership roles. I'm always focused in a lot of this work. Actually, I led our academic strategy and all of our workforce development from the hospital side. So I've seen it from that angle. And then I've also served in higher education as a cabinet member at 2 different institutions where I also had the opportunity to do it from that angle. And so this role is truly about how do we bring eds and meds and then a larger ecosystem together to help solve what we know is some of our most challenging issues in the healthcare workforce.
Well, that's exciting. And I have to point this out. On your LinkedIn profile, it starts with son of a nurse leading with heart and purpose. Can you tell us why you feel that's important to be the first thing that people see when they want to get to know you?
It's incredibly important because it frames who I am. You know, I'm the son of an amazing mother who went to community college to earn her associate's in nursing when I was 5. And she accomplished that in the midst of a divorce at the time and also, you know, raising 2 young sons and going to nursing school. And she never lost her dream to be a nurse. And when I look back on that, that's super critical. It's also critical because when I started my healthcare system career, I worked for a nurse CEO who led with heart and purpose. I've been fortunate to have had that influence early in my career and really have had, you know, both my mother and then obviously my former CEO's influence throughout my career.
I think that's fantastic. I wanted to start today with something we haven't done in a bit, with a little bit of word association, Jeffrey, if you're down for this. Totally open-ended. It's just kind of like the first thing that comes to mind or first thought that comes to mind. I'll share a few terms here one at a time. Okay. I'll just throw them out to you if that's okay. And then if you just want to tell me what comes to mind, no right or wrong, just very interested to hear what you think. So the first one is, as we already mentioned, workforce.
Urgent.
Ooh. Can you tell me more?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think it doesn't matter. Anyone in the healthcare industry today is facing the most critical, urgent challenge with workforce, from physicians to nurses to imaging technologists to pretty much every single clinical role and even in the non-clinical space. And it's not going to get any better anytime soon necessarily. And so we've got to be thinking about how we solve it.
Love it. All right, we'll get back to that. The next one is education.
Transformative.
Okay. All right. See, this is actually giving me some things to sink my teeth into later on. All right, next one is culture.
Eat strategy for lunch.
Okay. Love that. Next one is leadership.
Truly impactful if utilized and leveraged right.
Alrighty. And the last one is innovation.
Need a lot more of it in healthcare.
Okay. All right. I think we just picked our path of topics just based off of that. Let's start with the workforce part. And I think if we'll just put it this way, if you were writing a thesis, we just talked about education, right? So, you know, that maybe that's part of the educational experience sometimes is writing, researching about a topic. If you were writing a thesis about the healthcare workforce today, what would that thesis be? What's the main point or points that you would want to get across?
We sit at such an interesting time when we think about workforce in our healthcare ecosystem. For a long time, even before the pandemic, so much of the challenges we're facing today were predicted. And I think in many ways, like other situations in healthcare, we were hopeful that we wouldn't face it in the same exact way that we're facing today. And what I mean by that is that if you look at issues of burnout, you look at issues of culture, you look at issues of the supply and demand of the healthcare workforce, so much of that was actually not great before the pandemic, and it's only gotten worse and continues to get worse. And so it really requires a new sense of both urgency and a sense of innovation. We really have to get what I call eds and meds together. We've got to get education and healthcare working together in the same room regularly, updating curriculum, making sure we have pathways into the workforce, addressing clinical placements. The idea that we still sit at a time where we hear community colleges, colleges and universities say, well, I've got great programs, but I can't get them into their clinical placements is crazy to me. we know healthcare needs this workforce. So we've got to figure out how to get them into those clinical placements. The other piece of this is on the academic side, right? Accreditation is and can be a barrier. We sit here today with many healthcare programs that are capped for accrediting purposes. And I understand that you want to have quality programs as an accreditor, but you can't just cap programs that are critical to the workforce and ultimately just keep them in the same status quo like we've had for so many years. We've got to be able to address these things. And so, you know, I think for me, it's we really have to be disruptive in a respectful way. We certainly have to leverage data in a much stronger way. And we have to address it because every single day I speak to a healthcare system or I speak to an academic partner. And what I continue to hear is we have patients waiting for tests, patients waiting for procedures, sometimes for weeks upon months to have a simple imaging study done. And we all know that imaging is critical to the diagnosis of disease or cure. And so time is of the essence and we've got to solve it.
Well, that makes me think that we really do have to come up with a new approach to workforce development itself. And if I understand right, that's part of your role right now with Siemens Healthineers. Is that true? Is like just thinking differently about approaching workforce development itself? Is that one of the things you're working on right now?
Yeah, I mean, very much so, right? I mean, I think historically, workforce development in the healthcare system has been a very human resource driven function. And like a lot of times, it's much more been tactical rather than transformational. And what I mean by that is that now you're starting to see workforce development in all facets of healthcare be a number one topic. And you're starting to see, you know, more of an all hands on in approach, CEOs to other C-suite leaders, to human resources. The fact that, look, we all know that sometimes healthcare, while being a wonderful industry, isn't always the most progressive. And so chief learning officers is a newer role in healthcare systems these days, probably should have existed a long time ago, but it is encouraging to finally see people who are in these critical roles who understand how important and transformational workforce development, learning and development are to an organization. And so definitely 100% is how do we convene? How do we strategize? How do we lean in as a solutions provider in this space? And also, as an organization very committed to breakthroughs in medicine, we can continue to create the best medical equipment and technology that allows this to occur. But if we don't have the workforce to simply use it, literally, we know patients' lives are impacted. And so we've got to be able to be in a position to solve it.
It's fascinating. Are there areas that would have a greater impact than others? Is it earlier on in a journey? Is it like K through 12 versus your actual medical training or a postgraduate program or anything? I guess it's more of like where would be a starting point or a place to focus where we feel like it would have an oversized impact on the workforce?
We definitely, to your point, have to start earlier, right? We have to really educate K through 12 to understand in the K through 12 population all the different careers that exist in healthcare. We know the normal child thinks of healthcare when they think of it, and they think doctor or nurse, and they don't necessarily think about all the other important roles. In fact, I was at a community college program recently with high school students, and we asked them this question, and they thought the radiologist, they knew if there was a radiologist, again, doctor, they thought they were the ones that did the actual scan. They had no idea that there was actually a technologist. And then they didn't understand the sheer fact of all the training that a technologist does. And when you talk about it and you educate them, it's really fascinating. So, you know, for example, one of the first questions I ask when I go out and speak to high schools and such across the country is, I was at Oklahoma recently and I asked this question was, you know, do you like video games? And they were like, oh yeah, we love video games. I said, well, do you realize that serving in a technologist role in healthcare is the closest you're going to get to a video game than professionally, than pretty much most other things? And they're like, really? And I'm like, and you like to work with people? You like to be around people and help people in their lives? And they were like really intrigued. And then when they get to see the equipment, they're like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool. And so, yeah, we have to definitely get them interested. And we also have to help people understand the pathways. And then when they get in, we have to help them be successful. We lose a lot of really, really good future healthcare professionals simply because of math or science when they're in a community college or when they're in a college or university, because they're tough. They're tough subjects. And we have to find ways to help them be successful, because ultimately, not only do we need them, but also we need to help make sure the workforce reflects the patients that they serve. And we need to be equitable in that approach. And so we have a lot of work to do in that space too.
Do you think the same urgency applies for non-clinical roles? And I mean, what do you think about that side of things?
I think without question it does, right? I mean, we see in the entire healthcare ecosystem this challenge with recruitment and retention in pretty much every role these days. I think it's certainly more urgent in the clinical because ultimately we know access to care is so delayed or significantly impacted when we don't have that. The point I would just add to your point on that example is too, even at Siemens, we've got a phenomenal employee resource group called Sisters in STEM. And this is a group that was started by a group of employees. It has now grown to a larger group of employees that literally they go out as Sisters in STEM and they go out to talk to middle school students that are middle school girls, I should say, that are Black, African-American or representing other cultures to really help diversify interest in STEM-based careers to ultimately become part of our healthcare ecosystem. And this is a phenomenal group that has now, you know, gone across this country into different communities and different schools to literally show these students that they could be that future STEM professional. And so I think to your point, a lot of these social impact type programs are super important because it does give the student that opportunity to look and say, that could be me. And we definitely have to do more of that too.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, I think a lot of that has to do with, you have to get people excited here. You have to get them to want to be part of this. So let me throw that over to the innovation side, which we do talk a lot about here. What it takes, what needs to evolve or transform within a lot of traditional provider organizations to innovate sufficiently on behalf of, I mean, we focus on consumers, but I think the same points apply when we talk about clinical innovation, and a lot of those are digital innovations. But how can workforce issues, including clinical workforce, how can those issues affect the ability for healthcare to innovate?
When we think about it, right, like the reality of it is healthcare, as you know, is such and still continues to be a very risk-averse culture generally. And I understand without question, it is the most highly regulated industry from both a federal and a state level. And, you know, that adds a lot of complexity. But I think this is where leadership really comes down. You know, when I look at my healthcare career in a healthcare system, I was fortunate to work with executives who would regularly say, unless there's a reason that you as my lawyer counsel, you as my corporate compliance, and you as my risk manager will tell me that this decision to implement this idea will literally cause us a legal, significant legal issue, a compliance issue at federal government or state government, or be an issue significant of risk, we're going to do it. And I think we need more leaders who are willing to, you know, now again, this was an executive that had been there for 40 plus years. Everyone in the organization knew he was going to challenge them to the 10th degree, but he would pose those questions regularly. And I think what was powerful about it was then we would act. And as a younger professional, there was a lot that I learned from him on that. And I know members of my team learned from him on that. And there was a lot of disruptive things that we were doing that was more innovative and more ambitious than a lot of our larger competitors simply because of his way of doing business. And I think, again, that's where leadership has to come in. We need more leaders who are willing to challenge that way of thinking. Again, we've got to be legal, we've got to be compliant, and we certainly always have to be thoughtful around risk. But if it does not reach any of those things, and we know it's the right thing for and by our patients, then it's an absolute no-brainer to try it. And I often think that's the other piece in healthcare is we're just afraid to try it. But yet we've seen other industries just try things and have phenomenal success. I think we've got to be willing in healthcare. And I'll give you an example. In my hospital days, I can remember, we were a very busy area, water park capital of the world at the time. Every water park you could imagine here, ski park area, mass, you know, winter was skiing, snowboarding, summer was water parks everywhere. Saw over 90,000 patients a year. And our CIO and I worked together on a digital health project to literally basically take kiosks, both iPads, but also technological kiosks into the water parks, into the ski areas, where they could book an appointment at an urgent care before they left if they had an injury, so that when they arrived, they could come in and concierge medicine. When we first proposed this idea, and we proposed it because we both were at a conference and learned and heard about something similar, you would have thought the first thing would have been no, right? And it was from legal and compliance. How? Oh, no, I don't think we can do this. I don't think it'll work. And I'll never forget, again, my same senior vice president looked at them and said, Have you been a patient in our urgent care centers? Imagine how long they wait. Oh, but he said, enough of the buts. There's nothing that's wrong with this idea. He said, we're moving forward with it. If you can identify clearly and succinctly where the legal issue is, I'm happy to solve it, but I'm not seeing it. He said, it will still be HIPAA protected. It will still have the same aspects that you would expect. He said, we're moving forward with it. And when you look back on that, what was powerful was the employers loved it. The ski resorts loved it because they were able to say, we've got access to a healthcare system. And instead of you going and waiting, you're going to have an appointment as soon as you get there. And so, you know, it was a great strategy. But again, if we would have been in a system where they would have just listened to those folks, never would have happened.
That kind of pulls all this together. What could the future of healthcare look like as workforce challenges start to get addressed more effectively, as we do make some progress? What could the future of healthcare look like?
I think the first thing is if we address it and we be innovative and we get our accrediting bodies and our licensing bodies to come together with industry and with academia, our workforce can better reflect the patients that we serve. We will also have a workforce that can truly demonstrate empathy. And we will, without question, also be leveraging technology in a real positive direction so that we can reduce the inefficiencies and allow our clinical workforce and our non-clinical workforce to do work that's meaningful and to do work that's critical, but not do work that causes them more stress and more burnout. And the other point I would just make is, you know, I'm encouraged by all the conversation occurring now around skills and stackable credentials. And I think in the future, we'll have a more equitable workforce when we embrace those things as well, because we will literally bring people into the healthcare workforce that never have had a chance to serve. And I'm encouraged to see some of that further progress.
Well, I love that thought. It's a perfect place for us to tie this whole conversation together, Jeffrey. And I think as we look to the future and we see what's possible, that will help us continue to drive the urgency that needs to be there to see where we need to go and how to get there. So I appreciate that. Appreciate all the thoughts today. And we really did cover a lot of ground. With that, that's a wrap for this episode. This was so fun to do. I had the absolute pleasure of speaking with Jeffrey Roche from Siemens Healthineers. Thanks again for joining us today.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please spread the word. Tell your colleagues to tune in for all the awesomeness, then leave a review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This show is produced by Shift Forward Health, the channel for changemakers. Subscribe to Shift Forward Health on your favorite podcast app, and you'll be subscribed to our entire library of shows. See our full lineup at shiftforwardhealth.com. One subscription, all the podcasts you need, and it's all for free. And remember, we might have a lot of work to do in healthcare, but we'll get there faster together. Thanks again.